702.
Weekend Breakfast with Refilwe Mpakanyane.
Let's walk the talk.
On Weekend Breakfast, and right now we're talking how to revitalize South Africa's manufacturing sector. And the Manufacturing Indaba Conference is actually coming up. It's coming up soon. It's taking place from the 9th. It's taking place on the 9th and the 10th of December. And it's the leading manufacturing event in sub-Saharan Africa. This two-day event is set to bring together leading figures within the manufacturing sector to convene virtually and to talk about pressing issues impacting the region's industrial landscape. Joining us to talk about this is Coenraad Bezuidenhout, who is a sustainability and public affairs advisor, as well as founder of Maverick Shared Value. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast, Coenraad. Thank you so much for your time.
Good morning. It's lovely to speak to you.
Coenraad, let's talk about, firstly, the impact, the first question that you probably get asked all the time, the impact that COVID-19 has had on the manufacturing sector in South Africa. What are we looking like in terms of productions year on year?
Well, the impact broadly has been quite significant across the economy, but of course, with manufacturing, it's also had certain impacts. The impacts are not as immediate as for that you would find in the retail sector, or tourism, or one of those types of industries, hospitality, that was impacted immediately because customers just ceased.
Sure.
But of course, it will have an impact on demand going forward. So a lot of the impact we have not yet seen, because it takes some time to feed through, and because there will be continued weakness in the economy for some time. It remains yet to be seen what that will look like.
Mm.
Of course, it's also going to give huge opportunities for companies to come up with new, more sustainable business models and new product ideas and ways to make their businesses more secure going forward. And there will be some space for innovation. So we're hoping to see quite a bit of activity in that area, and in so doing, provide some structural change to the manufacturing sector, and also to make it more durable and a more sustainable contributor to the economy.
Yeah. You know, over the past couple of days, we'd have heard the State and Labour Minister mentioning or saying that the South Africa's economic reconstruction and recovery plan includes plans for mass industrialization and planned infrastructure program. But, you know, as someone who sits in the manufacturing sector, what are the tangible green shoots that you see and that are possible? I guess, you know, things that aren't based in sort of political speak and sort of blue sky thinking, but real term things that we can point to and say these are real options for us that have potential for the future.
Okay, so I'm not going to be able to give you specific company examples at this point in time. But what I can say is the following. South Africa has had a very long-standing history of being a precision manufacturer of high-quality goods, especially in the engineering space, that we've been finding customers for in at our traditional export partners like the U.S., Europe, and so on, for at least a century or more. So that's not going to disappear overnight. In addition to that, I should say that there is, and I cannot underestimate or underemphasize this enough, there is the African Free Trade Agreement that's opening up, and there really is quite a lot of opportunity on the rest of the continent because of demographic shifts, because of urbanization, because of the leapfrogging potential of certain technologies such as hydrogen and so on, to supply more, to create markets for us that we can satisfy. But it's a question of orienting ourselves to those opportunities and exploit them. I think in the past there has been quite a pervasive idea amongst manufacturers that it's because it's more cost effective in the short term to satisfy the local market first, it's less attractive to export.
Sure.
But what the COVID-19 pandemic has actually showed us is that it hasn't stopped exports so much, in as much as it is limited how we can interact with our customers and with our markets because of the way that we do that. So we need to make some adjustments, certainly to ensure that we're more sustainable. But there are huge opportunities on the continent that need to be exported. The third area where we need to focus, and this is where policy and government needs to come more to the party, is to change our industrial policy to support more sustainable business models.
What would you like to see changing, Coenraad?
Well, you know, this is a very complex topic, so I'm just going to mention the one example that I've already touched on, and that's hydrogen.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't feature. South Africa is one of the best localities in the world to produce hydrogen and to even export it, and there's going to be huge demand for that. Yet we don't do it. There's no specific policy, for instance, to look at hydrogen vehicle take-up in South Africa, yet we pump huge amounts of money from the fiscus into incentivizing vehicle production in South Africa of vehicles that are not clean, that are fossil fuel vehicles. And we manufacture, for instance, at the scale that would allow us to supply countries or areas where there is already significant hydrogen vehicle take-up, such as in California and Japan and Europe, with hydrogen vehicles. So why can we not make that adjustment? The other thing is also that a lot of the base metals that we need, the platinum group metals, to manufacture the products that you put into hydrogen technologies already in South Africa, platinum, etc. So that just gives you one picture of how you can shorten the supply chain and have a much more sustainable landscape production in a specific area, and it can be incentivized better by actually accommodating it in our industrial policy, where it doesn't feature at all at the moment.
So you will be speaking at the upcoming manufacturing Indaba. I'm guessing that those two points that you've just brought up might feature in your discussion. But what do you want to put on the table and make sure that you don't leave the Indaba without having ventilated?
Well, the discussions are going to be quite broad. There's 1,300 delegates already signed up, and people should really go onto the website and register. They can do so for free. There's numerous sponsors involved, and we're hoping to have the Minister of Trade and Industry speak at the event as well. But there's going to be numerous panel discussions on the future of manufacturing, the impact of financial investment, and so on. So it's not only just going to be about sustainability, it's really going to touch on every area that's relevant to the challenges faced by manufacturing today. Firstly, I'll be taking part in a panel on sustainability and the impact of COVID-19 on manufacturing and the kind of lessons that we've learned from this experience. So that's going to be my theme. And I think it's the key thing is the hope that we can have the delegates leave with a new sense of optimism and to really go out and think about how they can innovate this in their spaces and use this opportunity of building back, to build back better and to build back in a way that's more fundamental and significant to the area of economic activity in which they are.
How does the issue of Africa, the continent's transport and logistics, play into your conversations around the potential of manufacturing, not just in our country, but in creating and in tapping into this market that the continent is? How big of a worry is it for manufacturers?
Look, it is still quite a significant problem, but it's not the only problem that people have faced before. Before we had this move to easing trade and payments and all of that, people were finding it very difficult just to export say steel from South Africa to Mozambique to go into infrastructure projects there. It used to be fraught with risk, a credit risk and payment and so on. There are, when it comes to the logistics side of things, there are obviously a lot that needs to happen there. And there are certain things that are very difficult to do. As soon as you start to speak about transporting something from a market to a port to another port and then to another market,
sure,
it becomes costly. There's various delays that needs to be considered. On South Africa's part, obviously, we need to do what we can to make our ports more efficient. But I think that we should just play into the planning of manufacturers, local product planning or the strategy planning, so that you look at the kind of products that you can transport. If you need to transport by air, for instance, you're not going to transport vegetables. It's going to be technology or some kind of high-value product. If you're going to transport by road, you're not going to transport perishables long distance, and the same if you're going to have to do by the port. So it's just a question about choosing the right product and going with that. The whole thing with the shifts on the continent is very important to watch. If you speak about urbanization, it means there's going to be huge opportunities for things that we now have to make, like security infrastructure, for instance. Just a simple example is something like roller security doors, yeah, or shutter security barriers for windows, burglar proofing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Those kind of things are things that's going to be needed in huge quantities going forward on the continent, where we're going to see probably the greatest urbanization over the next 30 years anywhere in the world.
Mm. And with the prospect of that, how do you see opportunities to leverage special economic zones for Africa's future industrialization and the sort of integration that you're talking about?
I think special economic zones are important to incentivize investment in certain areas, but they've got both an incentive to draw new investors, but it also has consequences for existing concerns, long-standing manufacturing that also needs to be nurtured,
mm-hmm,
in the market where they are operating. So I think what is something that needs to be looked into is, if you do have a special economic zone, then you need to at least look at the existing businesses that are in the country, manufacturing business, insist on some kind of, the various forms of compliance that you require with BEE, environmental legislation and everything else, and then offer non-contiguous inclusion into special economic zones. In other words, if you've got a factory that's 30 kilometers or 100 or even 500 kilometers away from the special economic zone, we deem you part of that zone,
mm-hmm,
because you are compliant and you are a valued South African manufacturing concern. That's mm-hmm. the first thing. Second thing is, we can't rely solely on those and then think that manufacturing is magically going to flourish,
sure,
in any particular economy.
What other factors need to be brought to bear in order for the special economic zones to flourish, as you've said? Because quite often they are touted as some, a silver bullet that will make everything okay.
Yes, the difficulty with implementing special economic zones in Africa is that in the places where they have been effective, such as Ireland and India and so on, we're speaking either about a very big economy that can fund not only the infrastructure incentives, but the financial, the tax incentives and so on as well. Companies move in there on 15-year tax holidays and so on. That's not necessarily something that a country like South Africa can afford. So it's great to have the infrastructure part of it there. You may look at some regulatory tinkering, but at the end of the day, our broader infrastructure landscape needs to be looked at and needs to become much more efficient. We've already spoken about the ports.
Yeah.
It's not going to be helpful, for instance, that you've got a SEZ with beautiful local facilities, but the access to a port is inefficient, or the port itself is inefficient, and then it becomes just this island of beauty that's isolated from the markets that it's supposed to access. And the future of the location of production is all about access to markets, access to energy, and factors such as those. It's not about cheap labor, even though, super expensive labor is also going to be an adjustment. But you have to have access to markets.
All right. You bring up a very important point, which is access to consistent, reliable and affordable energy. We've got a call on the line. Phil in Waterkloof, welcome to the show. You want to comment on our conversation?
Thank you very much, Sister Filo, and to my learned friend there. Manufacturing, those who are in economics will know that production, any economy starts with production, which leads into trade and wealth. But now there are certain, we need to consider some of the tailwinds and the headwinds
that are
contributing into Africa and what. Now, what I'm going to propose is that Africa should collaborate. African countries should leapfrog. African countries should climb up the manufacturing ladder by upthrusting, working together and challenge the West and the East rather than being the greatest importers.
Mm.
If, for instance, when I make an example with the pharmaceutical sector, you will find that 90% of what we are consuming in Africa gets imported from overseas. Yet China is importing only 5%.
Mm. What do you think of Kunrad? Do you think, to Phil's point, this is the potential that the African Free Trade Agreement that you touched on actually has?
Yeah, so the line was a little bit unclear, but if I followed it correctly, it was about developing manufacturing across Africa
and collaboration.
And collaboration. So there's definitely a case to be made for us to across the continent collaborate in terms of our individual strengths and not to work against one another. And also, when you implement industrial policy, that it should be done in that way. There are areas where we already collaborate. South Africa, for instance, is serving as a springboard. The automotive industry here is serving for a springboard for automotive industry to develop in places such as Kenya and Nigeria. We send semi knockdown units in that direction, and they then further assemble it there. It's a better way of exporting to them, and it also creates some spin-offs for them on that side. So that kind of thing is already happening. Globally, there has been a very small but still significant signs. A couple of years ago, for instance, IKEA had to make a decision about where to place the next production facility. And they eventually placed it in Vietnam, but the competition for Vietnam was Botswana.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is showing us that we're on the radar. The UN Economic Commission for Africa has for years mentioned the importance of manufacturing, but going into a future where we also need to take the environment into concern, what manufacturing is going to be in the future is going to be very much different. We are going to have to move to more circular economies. Manufacturers may not just be manufacturers, because in the future, it may not just be products, but products as a service. People might be more in a position where they have to pay to access certain products rather than buy the products themselves. And so the business models must also evolve.
We'll have to leave it right there. But thank you so much for your time this morning. That's Kunrad Bezuidenhout, Sustainability and Public Affairs Advisor, as well as founder of Maverick Shared Value.